Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at For the Journey. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all of the mercies that you shower upon us, all of the blessings that you give to us, all the things even that we are unaware of, yet you do for us day by day. We are especially grateful right now for this time in the Scriptures, this time with you. Open the Word to us and allow us to be open to your Word, that you may be glorified in our lives and in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As you know, we've been doing series all month long called 3x3, although it's kind of been expanded a bit, but that's okay too. We even had a couple more still on the agenda, so who knows? It may be even more than that. But we have been looking at, in the Scriptures, little vignettes where we see the number three, the image, the language of it expresses to us, not so much, I don't want you to get into kind of like numerology, that's not what I'm talking about, but there are these elements that show the image of three, and it's reinforced over and over again in the Scriptures. So what we've been looking at, we looked at way back, our introductory one, the brook, the bag, and the sling, the three places the stone could be. It was only one of three places. It was either in the brook, in the bag, or in the sling. We looked at the three things that Tamar requested from Judah. There was the signet ring. There was the thread, the ribbon, the binding, and then there was the staff or the tribe. And these three things made that unit, that completeness. It expresses completeness to us, doesn't it? We've talked about other things. And then we've looked at even some other things in Scripture. For example, we looked at in Psalm 91, the answer, we prayed, He heard us and he answered. How did he answer? One answer, but it had three parts. That he would be with us, he would deliver us, and then he would honor us or glorify us. Praise the Lord. So we see that again. We've seen it in so many things. Well, today we're going to be looking at, I know there was another one that we did, but I'm just going to be mushing along here. We've been looking at For the Journey. For the Journey. And we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, this is a very busy place, okay? 18 has Elijah calling down fire and consuming the offering and the mountaintop. And then he goes up and he sits there, and the servant comes back and forth, and finally it's going to rain. And so he tells the king, get up and go, that the rain stop you not. Amen. I'll just pitch this in here for the now. A lot of times the very thing we pray for will stop us if we're not prepared. We need to pray and prepare. And then, because the thing, if you're not prepared, the very thing you pray for could stop you. So he told Ahab, get up, you know, prepare, lest the rain stop you. So then there was Elijah sitting there, and, you know, about verse 44 is where he told the king, prepare, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Verse 45, came to pass that the winds, you know, grew, and Ahab rose, he went, and he, the hand of Elijah, he girded his loins, and he outran the king, didn't he? See, again, there we're talking about journey, aren't we? Well, this is, I just kind of get a little background to how Elijah's been doing. He's been going through so much spiritually, but even physically, he outran a horse and chariots. Where is it that talks about Jeremiah, where if you have vied with men, how are you ever going to outrun horses? Anyway, chapter 19, which is where we're going to now. He's just a man. While he's done all these fantastic things, he is still just a man. And so while all is settled down now, the dust is settled. Verse 3, he rose and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, remember, which is the well of oath. You'll have to look up the background of that, and which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there at Beersheba. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Amen. Have you ever felt like that? That we going again back to the bag and the sling. You go so far, and you have compatriots. You have good friends, good allies, spiritual brothers and sisters that walk with you. But there comes a point where sometimes you have to leave them, and you got to go a day farther into the wilderness. You make that part alone. So he went a day's farther into the wilderness. He left his servant at the well at Beersheba, the well of oath. He himself, verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He didn't just sit down, he collapsed. He's like, poof, there I am, I'm done. The juniper tree. First thing I want to do is, and again, we're talking about for the journey, but we're looking at types, images of threes and how they convey that completeness to us. Just kind of take you, move the cover back just a little, peek under these things. So he went a day's journey. Now we're talking about journey. See, a lot of times it's interesting. People are so excited about what happened on the mountain when he called down fire. People are excited about, you know, he saw the cloud about the size of the man's hand, and the next thing you know, there's a torrential downpour. And, you know, oh, how exciting to be able to speak and a drought ends and there's water everywhere. But we have also pay attention to that human side of him. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. Some of us can feel a bit in the wilderness now. We feel like we're journeying all by ourselves in this wilderness, don't we? And it came and he sat down under a juniper. Now, if you know anything about shrubs and trees, etc., we do have junipers in this country. Matter of fact, some of you probably got one in your yard. This is not the same shrub, what we call a juniper, and that they call a juniper. It's just, you know, it's a different shrub, and it's what we would call a broom bush. It's a thorny shrub. And it grows well in poor soil and and bad growing conditions, okay? Poor soil, poor growing conditions, yet it survives. It's only a shrub, not a tree. That has to do with usage of water, doesn't it? And it's thorny. Those are for protection. And sometimes that's kind of where we end up. He was under this thorny shrub, but the thing about this broom bush is it did survive. It grows well in hard places. Thank God that God has given some of us the ability, amen, to grow well in hard places, in stony places, in poor soil, in poor growing conditions. Yet just because the place you are in is hard doesn't mean that you can't thrive. You know, this bush is thorny. This bush knows how to conserve water. It knows how to survive bad soil without nutrients in it, yet it thrives there. And God has given us the capacity. You may be in a hard place today. You may be in a stony place today. You may be in a dry place today. But that does not mean you cannot survive. Amen? So he goes and throws himself down under this shrub. And I'm sure that's how he felt. And that's because that was the only protection there was around, wasn't it? And he went to sleep. I'm going to read from here on for a little bit. And he requested himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." That expresses to me just not just discouragement, but he's exhausted, isn't he? He's exhausted spiritually. He's exhausted emotionally. He's exhausted physically. And he's isolated and alone socially. He's just what we would say at his wit's end. He's done. I don't know if you've ever had that point. Most of us have had that. Okay. And so now we're going to pick up our story. Verse 5. All right. Verse 5. "And he lay and slept under the juniper tree. And behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." Now wait, he's all alone in the desert under this, you know, scraggly little shrub. But all of a sudden an angel's there telling him to arise and eat. verse 6, "And he looked, and behold, he saw a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water as his head. And he did eat and drink and laid them down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat." Why? "Because the journey is too great for thee." He arose and did eat and drink and went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Now, 40 days, 40 nights, we know, is a number that speaks of probation. It's always not really tests and trials so much, but that's that probation in it. And so it's a very hard time. It's a tempting time. Jesus was in the wilderness, wasn't he? It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. There's this, I don't want to say like a test, but it's an endurance. And in that, things are revealed. Things are made clear. He had a journey of 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb. And so God wanted him prepared. God prepared him for the journey. You may have a journey ahead of you. God provides all we need for the journey, which is what we are looking at today. It's for the journey. So here we see he's under this broom bush. He's exhausted in every way, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, socially. He is just alone, isolated. It wasn't like he was discouraged, like in unbelief. He was just exhausted. Poured out, empty, okay? And we get to that point sometimes. And so he just, you know, said, I'm that's it, I'm done. And he went to sleep. But while he was sleeping, God did something. See, we kind of keep our eye, we pray and then keep one eye open looking for what God's going to do. God can do what he's going to do when we're asleep. So when he woke up, this angel woke him up actually and said to him, you know, get up and eat, drink, and go back to sleep. That's what he needed, wasn't it? Physically, he needed food, he needed water, and he needed sleep. So there's the three, isn't it? We all need that. We need food, water, and sleep. But those aren't the three we're going to talk about today, but that's okay. You see, that three is in there, and it's complete. It's all he needed, wasn't it? And he said, go back to sleep a second time. Now, second is also very important. We haven't been talking about it so much because a lot of times it's a little bit more complicated. The number two is much more complicated. I love it. It's my favorite study, is the usages of twos and the imageries. I won't go into it, but because it can be opposites and it can speak of enmity. It can be the beginning and end, and stands for everything in the middle. But it also means when something is given twice, the scriptures say a thing given twice is established and shall shortly come to pass. When God says something or does something and then repeats it, it's a done deal. It's the way we are when we tell somebody something. You tell your kids, go to bed, and they ignore you. And you said, I said, go to bed. Now they know you mean it, because having it repeated it makes it, you know, an absolute. So it is with God. When God says and does something a second time, it shall absolutely come to pass. Well, there's something about that. He slept, he ate, he got up. Well, he was sleeping. He got up and he ate and drank and went back to sleep and got up and ate and drank again. And the angel said he did this twice. Most of the time we try to get just enough to keep going. Okay, that's enough. I'll move on. No, there are times God wants you to sit still, eat, drink, and sleep again because the journey is too great. God knows you aren't going to make it on that. And a lot of times, most of us spend our spiritual life on the bottom half of our tank. I mean, I remember that little lesson from my dad about having a car, especially in the winter. You always keep the gas on the top half of the tank. And most of us don't know to refill when our tank gets halfway down. We wait till it's way down, and then we put just enough to get us to the half tank and then go again. I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking about us personally. We kind of just keep filling it up so we're what we call going on fumes. We put a little more and go, that's good enough, and we run for a while more, and then we're exhausted again. But this time God said that what he wanted him to do was what? Just eat, drink, and go back to sleep. Why? Look at it. It's written right there. Because the journey is too great for thee. It didn't say the journey might appear too great. It didn't say the journey may feel too great. I don't know if you understand the beauty, the glory in that. God is promising us that whatever journey we on, two things. Number one, you will complete it. And that number two, that journey is too great for you. Have you ever done anything and then you look back and you think, there's no way I should have been able to do that. And yet, glorifying God, you know you did. That's it. He was on a journey. And the journey was really literally too great for him. But God was going to get him there anyway. Amen? He had to do three things. Eat, drink, and sleep, right? So there's our first group of three. Man, actually, this one will have three threes. I told you it was three times three. Well, this three times three is three times three times three. We got three threes in this one. He had to eat, drink, and sleep. But for him to do that, the angel had to prepare. Again, while he was sleeping, the angel prepared. I want you to understand, you don't have to sleep with an eye open. God can work. God will do his work whether we are keeping our eye on it or not. While he was sleeping, while he was looking the other way, while he was doing whatever, the angel prepared for him. And God gave the angel three things to do. Okay, there are three elements to that preparation. Number one, we see that when he woke up, he saw the bread, didn't he? The cake. We know that's a cake of bread. I'd like to make a comment about God wants us to have a diet of cake, but my conscience won't let me pervert the word that much just for my own ends. Anyway, there was a cake baked on there. There was bread. But here's the thing. If you're going to have bread from nothing, you have to first do what? You have to bake it, don't you? So this is sometimes we overlook what God has prepared for us. God had to prepare to prepare. Amen? The angel baked this bread for him and got this cruse of water, this jug of water. But before he could bake the bread, he built the fire. It says that verse 6, he looked and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals. First comes the fire, then comes the bread. Amen? So the first thing the angel did was build the fire. Then he baked the bread and he fetched the water. He put the water in a jug by his head. So this is very important. Just remember that. Think about that. Meditate on that. Some of these I give to you. Some of them, dig them out for yourself. Why was the water by his head? Because the problems, we're going to go back. So we see these three here. What did the angel prepare? What did God have for him for the journey? Three things: fire, bread, and water. Fire, bread, and water. Amen? Now, we're going to get into this, and you know your Bibles well. You are not ignorant. So go, let your mind, see what I do a lot of times is let my mind jump around to a lot of different stories and see if what I'm saying is not true. We know that there's an element of fire runs through all the scriptures, doesn't it? Remember in the tabernacle, the things that were going to be used of God had to be purified by fire, right? Fire is a big element in the scriptures. And the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were what? Thrown into the fire. They emerged from the fire, untouched, unharmed. Anything that goes into the fire comes out of the, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But the fire always speaks of spirit. Remember how Jesus talks about that we have this fire, okay? Anyway, it's a light. It's light is fire, and it is life. It is spirit life. I'm going to use this. I'm going to jump to another three, and I want you to think about this, how they connect. If we think about another three, and I'm going to use this in the metals in the Bible. The metals, like, say, used in the tabernacle, but appear other places. There's gold, silver, and brass. These are the three metals that the scriptures always talk about. Gold, silver, and brass. Gold is divine, okay? Whenever you see that gold, it speaks of God, and it speaks then, of course, of that purity, that spirit life. When gold passes through the fire, nothing happens to it. Gold cannot tarnish. Gold is very malleable, but gold does not, it's pure, and it stays pure, okay? That's why it speaks of divinity, and that's why it speaks of spirit life. Now, silver Well, let's talk about, well, gold, silver, brass. Silver, if you read through the scriptures, you'll see speaks of mankind, but speaks of his higher life. That is like his redemption. Because silver passed through fire, impurities are burnt out. And so silver always talks of our redemption. It talks about mankind, but not our lower nature of mankind, but that higher nature. Jesus came for that. That is, and if you see how it's used in this, in the tabernacle, maybe I bit off more than I can chew. You may be thinking this is too much. But anyway, and brass. Brass always talks of our humanity. It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's earthly and it's humanity. Remember the vision where the, well, in one place the feet were made of clay, but others they were made of brass. And then that speaks of our humanity. So in the tabernacle, the outer things were made of brass. The inner things that will speak of God's nature coupled with ours, that us being redeemed from that is the silver, and the purity is the gold. So it is too, that same three is found here in our three elements, fire, bread, and water. Okay, I think you get that fire stands for the spirit life. And I don't mean stands for, but it gives us that picture, that image. And I'm going to kind of flip-flop them here because they talk about bread. Well, there are two elements to communion, aren't there? There's bread and wine. And the bread stands for the flesh. This is my body, which was broken for you. We are healed in our flesh, but we're forgiven in our heart, in our conscience, in our spirit. You get that in our soul. The bread, the flesh, heals the flesh, but remission of sin is what? In the blood. That's where the life of the flesh is, in the blood. Jesus' blood was spilled for our forgiveness of sins. So you see those two elements there. And bread always talks about daily. Give us this day our daily bread. It has to do with our human life. And it's essential, but it speaks to our flesh, doesn't it? And then there is the water. The reason I brought in the metals is for you to understand how silver, while it has that earth element, it has already been redeemed, refined. So it speaks of redemption. It's the same with the water, because water in the scriptures, there's a lot of water in the scriptures. It goes from Genesis 1-2 clear down to Revelation 22. It goes all the way through. We know there isn't a 21, but it goes all the way through. And where we see it is it speaks of life again, but it talks about our soul life, doesn't it? It talks about our soul life because it speaks of, if I can say this, like life and death. We are born by the water and the word, right? We are, when the children of Israel passed through the waters, they did it twice, didn't they? Once from the Red Sea, but then once through the Jordan. And they passed, it was that redemption. They passed from the wilderness into the promised land. They passed from slavery into wilderness. So there shows a passage, and so it has to do with redemption. We are baptized, you know, it in the water, it speaks of death unto life, doesn't it? And so we see there's this passage. It has to do with life, but it has to do with that redemption. So here we see these three elements were essential for his preparation for his journey: the fire, the bread, and the water. And it talks of spirit life, flesh life, and soul life. He needed to be regenerated, refilled in all these things, because there was a journey ahead of him, and that journey was too great. So the angel had fire, the angel had bread, and the angel had water. and that was to replenish him in his spirit, in his soul, and in his flesh. And he, as a man, needed these three things, to eat, drink, and sleep, didn't he? And so he went on his journey. So we see these three things made it possible. He said, the journey is too great for you. Yet because he was replenished in his spirit, replenished in his soul. Now remember, the water jug was by his head because that's what it spoke to. And the bread went into his belly. Okay? And that's, you know, we hear a lot of talk, bread and belly are closely, but yet you still need it, don't you? And a lot of times we don't always realize the completeness. Remember, three shows that completeness, the completeness of refreshing that we need. We can't go through this life halfway prepared in one way and not in another. It is body, soul, and spirit. And here we have fire, water, and bread. So all these elements God gave the man to be ready for the journey ahead of him. Amen? I don't know about you, but I kind of find that exciting. So that really would have been our threes. Even we threw in an extra one, didn't we? But I told you there was another one. So we're going to just look on a little farther, and hopefully that'll cheer you up a bit. So we get down. So he rose. He said, the journey is too great for you. He rose and did eat and drink and went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. See, he needed to eat basically on the strength of that 40 days and 40 nights. Meaning what? He ended up sort of fasting then, right? 40 days and 40 nights. Again, I'm telling you, there's this number of 40. It's not testing like God's testing us, but it's a trial, and we're going to pass it. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and he came out glorious. It says that he came out in power, didn't he? In the power of the Spirit is when he returned. The 40 and 40 has to do with returning. When Noah was on the, there were two 40s there, weren't there? Because the first one was when it rained, but then he floated after it rained for another 40, and then the earth had been cleansed. So again, that passage that goes from with the 40. So here he goes, having fasted, if I can say that, on the strength of what had been prepared for him, 40 days and 40 nights, and he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. We're in verse 9. We're going to look at 9 and I think it's 13. We're going to, oh, yeah, 9 and 13, I guess. And said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Oh, my goodness. I've told you this a lot of times. I love the questions in the Bible. It's the questions God asks us, but it's the questions we ask ourselves. God said, what are you doing here? Remember when he asked Adam, you know? And, oh, remember, he said, Adam, where are you? Do you think God didn't know? But God's asking him a question. He asked Adam's son, Cain, you know, where is your brother? Did he not already know where his brother was? But of course, Cain kind of wanted to be smart and ask a question back. Am I my brother's keeper? I'm a little careful with the questions. I answer God with another question. But remember the questions that we ask ourselves. Maybe if Cain had asked himself that question, am I my brother's keeper? He might have gotten on a little better. But remember the four leprous men. They sat outside the gate. There was death inside. There was death outside. They were surrounded by the enemy. It was pretty grim. And they had a disease in their body that was going to kill them. And they looked at each other and they asked this question. Why sit we here until we die? Remember that the prophet, when the woman came to him distressed, distraught, her creditors had come. Her husband was dead. Now the creditor wanted to take her sons. She was at an end. The prophet didn't pat her on the shoulder and say, oh, honey, I'm sorry. He asked her two questions. What do you want? and what do you have? Oh, I love that one too. But here, God is asking Elijah, what are you doing here? He thought that getting to that point of the journey was the end. But let me tell you, God's taken us on a journey to get us somewhere, because the place that we get to has something we have to do or be or something we have to address. Getting to the destination is not enough. There's something there at the end of the journey. So he said, what are you doing here? And so he starts complaining to him. So, we, you know, that's what we do. And I'm going to go on down to the end of 13. Okay, he wrapped his... Let me read 13. It came and was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The same question. Now, remember what I said about when something is repeated. This, I mean, God shouldn't have to ask you twice, should he? But there was something Elijah wasn't getting. What are you doing here? You're here. Praise God you got here. But why are you here? What is your purpose? What are you supposed to be doing? What are you not doing you're supposed to be doing? What are you doing here? And he's asked him that twice. You think being a prophet who could call fire down from heaven, who could use his voice and turn a drought into a flood, you think somebody of that caliber would get it through his mind when God says, what you doing here? But we can't blame him, because he's not better than us and we're not better than him. So he's saying, what you doing here? But I want us to look at what happens in between. He asks him, and this is another pretty famous place. I know you'll know it, but I want you to see this number three, this collection of three things together that make a unit. Okay? So, so we're going back to 9. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, thrown down their prophets. And I am left. I alone am left, and they seek my life. You can tell he's just worn out. We won't want to admit it, but we've been there. And he said, this is what God said to him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Maybe the angel said it. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. We know this one well, don't we? We all love that, and we've preached it 100 times. But what I want you to hear is there were three elements before the still small voice, wasn't there? There was the wind, there was the earthquake, and there was the fire. Now, I know that they got it from a completely different source, but those of you who are old enough to remember, there was a band called Earth, Wind, and Fire, wasn't it? Well, the voice of God wasn't in the midst of that either. But anyway, here again, we have these three elements, the wind, the earth, and the fire. Now, of the four basic elements of earth, they also used to include water. But again, this is the same prophet that called down the cloud, which brought the deluge of water. But here in the mountaintop, there was earthquake, there was wind, there was fire, air, earth, and fire. All those things, but God wasn't in them. Those three things mean in all these other things, all these elements that, you know, are complete, but God's not in it. God's in that still small voice. And when he came out there, he said, return your way. Finally, he's getting around to answering that question. What are you doing here? And then he tells him what to do. return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. Anoint Hazael, that's a one. Anoint Jehu, that's a two. And anoint Elisha. Ooh, that's a three. Oh, I wasn't even counting on that. There's another three for you. On his way back, he was going to anoint three. Number one, okay, he was going to anoint Hazael as king of Syria. And Jehu as king of Israel. And Elisha as the prophet in his place. So two kings, king of Syria, king of Israel, and the prophet. So we see that even there again, that three, there's a language in it. Sometimes we can get caught up on the details and miss the language. If you understand, there are certain kinds of languages to speak them. It's not so much the pronunciation, it's the lilt, it's the rhythm, it's the sound of it. God is speaking to us all the time through the scriptures. And again, we see this in these threes. There were the three men he was to anoint. There were the three elements that could have distracted him from the still small voice. Twice he was asked that question. There were the three things that the angel did for the man of God. The angel was there to refresh him spiritually, to fill him back up in his soul, in his emotions, in his mind, and to heal his body. Those three things meant he was prepared, fully prepared unto good works. Amen. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? That the man of God is to be furnished, fully furnished unto all good works. Sometimes we will let one side down or another, but you are on a journey, my friend. You have a purpose. When you get there, it's not just, yay, I got here. There are people who feel sometimes they've done God a big service by coming to church. But it's not what you do. It's not just the getting there. It's what do you do when you're there? If you've made it through that journey, then there's something for you to do. And I just want to remind you at this time when most people are kind of looking inwardly and looking downwardly, that God is prepared everything you need to refresh you, to fulfill you, to strengthen you, to nourish you, to heal you, to prepare you. You can run 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of what he's giving you. But when you get there, there's something for you to do. Jesus went through the 40 days and 40 nights. But when that was completed, he did, number one, he passed the test that the devil tried to tempt him, didn't he? And oops, I believe there were three temptations there, weren't there? Oops. But when John saw him coming back and he said, we returned, what did he do? It says he came back in the power of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. God has prepared you for a great journey. I don't know, maybe, what your particular journey may be, but this I know, that all of heaven is standing at attention, ready to prepare for you what you need. And you may need to just eat, drink, and sleep again, because that journey is great. But when you make it, number one, you will get to your destination. And number two, when you get to your destination, you will accomplish that for which God sent you. God bless. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that we have been filled up, but you continue to fill us. That God, the journey you have for us, we will accomplish it. We will complete it. And we will do those things that you have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Looking forward to being with you again next time.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
joining God in the Mist, Get Them Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get Them Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.